Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dowd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's a beautiful summer day here in Clearwater, Florida on, Tuesday, August 19th, 2014. And today we're going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects, which is remodeling, in a way that's not toxic. And my guest today has remodeled a house, or I guess she's in the process of remodeling a house, and she's doing it in a non-toxic way. She's blogging about it, and she's especially doing it for her kids because she's a single mom, and she wants to make sure that her kids have the least toxic, most healthy environment available. And we're going to be talking about why that's important, as well as what she's doing. My guest is Erin Ide. She is a, in addition to all those things, I'm just looking at my notes here. Anyway, she's going to tell us about herself. Hi, Erin. Hello, Erin? I can't hear her. My technician is coming on. We just lost her. Okay, so I'm going to tell you, they're calling her back. So I'm going to tell you more about her. She's a hospital-based project manager in environmental health, specializing in pediatric research and education. She has an MA in environmental education from New York University, where she received a fellowship from the Metropolitan Center for Urban Education. And she's back now. Hi, Erin.
Hi.
Hi. So now, okay, I have a little technical problem here, so just hold on a second. Actually, you start telling us about how you came to do your Healthy Home Project. And I'm going to just type to the technician here for a second.
Okay, well, I moved into this house just over a year ago. My children and I were living in an apartment at the time that I found this house. And we basically needed something very affordable and needed a more long-term housing solution than where we were. Mm-hmm. And when I found this place, it was actually abandoned. There was nobody living here.
Oh my God.
So it was in pretty bad shape. It needed pretty much everything done to it. So we weren't able to live in it right away. So I just figured, why not make this a project where I can really use some sustainable materials and healthy paints and basically everything from start to finish. So it was, it's really been quite a journey.
What was it that made you be interested in doing it in a non-toxic way?
Well, I've always been interested in environmental topics and non-toxic living pretty much since I was in high school and I was part of the environmental club. So I was kind of pursued it from that time onward. I got my master's in environmental education, like you said. And I work and I'm a hospital-based environmental health researcher. So I have that sort of background to begin with. So it was really kind of a natural fit.
So tell us why it's so important for children. I totally agree with you, by the way, about this. Why it adults, I mean, I can see in my own body as an adult what an effect toxic chemicals had on me and what an effect, what a beneficial effect it had for me to remove toxic chemicals in our homes. But there's specific reasons why we have to be even more concerned about children. So tell us about those.
Well, children have greater exposures to environmental toxins than adults do in three main ways. The first is pound for pound of body weight. Children drink more water, eat more food, and breathe more air than adults. So they respirate at a quicker rate, and they take in more water and more food than we do. So their exposure is different in that sense. They also have frequent hand-to-mouth behavior, which gives them more opportunities to ingest toxins. And then the third way, especially true with small children, is they tend to play close to the ground where toxins often settle.
And also another thing about them playing close to ground, like especially like kids sitting on the floor in homes, that when we are walking around with our shoes on outside and then we come in the house, we start tracking all those toxic chemicals on the floor. And so this is one of the reasons to take off your shoes before you get in, come in the house. Because otherwise anything that you've stepped in outside is now on your floor. Kids are playing on the floor. They get it on their hands. They put it in their mouth.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's one of the rules we have in our house as well. We have a spot by the front door and one by the back door where everybody leaves their shoes. And it's just kind of an automatic thing now. But it is so important to take off your shoes when you come in the house. Especially,
it really is.
Especially now, it being the summer with pesticides on people's lawns.
Yes, yes. So what about rapid cell division, children having rapid cell division?
Well, during the during two different time periods that children go through, that being the infant developmental period and the adolescent years, those are times of very rapid cell division in kids. So these are critical windows of development. And compared to an adult, there's also a greater time frame from an environmental exposure to when a disease or health condition might manifest. So those are just some other ways and some other reasons why environmental exposures in children are very different than those in adults. So kids aren't little adults. They're unique and they're uniquely vulnerable. So as adults, we need to do all we can to protect them.
I completely agree. It's just I think you're doing a fabulous job as a mom to be concerned about this and taking care of your kids. And I think that all mothers need to do this, and fathers too, and grandparents and aunts and uncles, that we all need to be watching out for kids, because, you know, there's just so much evidence about children having illnesses now at earlier and earlier ages. Things that we didn't see before, like when you and I were kids, We were much healthier than kids are now. Yeah. And we really see it. And it's something we really need to pay attention to. So can you tell us more about indoor air pollution that motivated you to do this project?
Yes. Well, I think of a house or a home like kind of like a bubble, and everything that's inside the home, including all the toxins, become part of the environment for everybody who lives in that home. According to the EPA, the indoor air is 2 to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air. And most of us spend up to 90% of our time indoors. So there's a really large time frame there for exposures to anything that's inside the home. Another thing to keep in mind is that older homes tend to breathe more than newer construction homes, which
right.
are usually built to be energy efficient and therefore more airtight.
And so it's important for newer homes particularly. I mean, I always live in older homes for that reason. But the point is that if you have a lot of toxic things in a newer home, they won't evaporate it out in the same way as they will in an older home. In times past, we didn't have so many toxic things, and we had what's called a leaky house. Nowadays, new houses are tighter, and we have more toxic things in them. So when you're doing a construction project, it's really important to be thinking about how toxic the paints and the walls and the floors and everything that you put in the house. It's really, really, really important to be considering these things. Well, we need to go to the break, but when we come back, we're going to learn more about what Erin has done in her home. And you can go to her website, which is thehealthyhomeproject.org, and see if she's documented everything that she's done in her blog. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Erin Ide. She's the founder of the Healthy Home Project, and what she's doing is, as a single mom, she's remodeling a house that needed everything to be done, as she says, on a peanut butter and jelly budget. So, Erin, let's just back up a minute and tell us, I want to hear more about your process of deciding that you need to have a home and finding your home and how it, you decided to make it non-toxic, because I think that the what you've just gone through in doing this is a journey that everybody needs to do. And many people are saying, I wish I had a healthy home, but I can't afford it. Mm-hmm. But you made it happen, and I want to hear more about how that happened for you.
Well, as I mentioned before, the home that I found was not being lived in. It had been vacated sometime before. It had also, when there was somebody living here, it had gone through a decline over several decades. It is an older home built in 1907. So it's on the National Historic Registry, which is...
How did you find this home?
I found it online. I decided to go on the real estate listing, the main real estate listing website for my area, and it was late one night, and I thought, you know, I need to get out of where I am. This isn't a permanent solution where we are, and I just don't think I can afford anything. And I went online, and there was this house, and I decided to look at it a couple days later, and the moment I saw it, I knew this was going to be something. It just took my heart right away, I guess you could say, because the bones of it were beautiful. I could see that just looking past the crumbling walls and the holes in the ceiling and things like
now,
that.
You had no experience doing any kind of remodeling before. Is that correct?
Well, I had lived in two houses years ago, and I had done some remodeling in those houses, but not to the extent that this needed. So this was a whole different ballgame, and I was also doing it by myself. So I was coming kind of from a different perspective at this time, and it was kind of beyond the scope of my imagination, really, what needed to be done.
Yeah. So you went ahead and took this leap of faith and bought the house.
Yeah.
And you said before that you couldn't live in it right away. So what was the first thing that you did in order to start doing the remodeling project?
The day I closed on the house, I came in and I tore down a couple ceilings. There were drop ceilings throughout most of the house, and in some places there were even two drop ceilings. So I took down one and I found another above that, and then I took that down and I found a huge hole in the original ceiling. So that was kind of the first phase, is really seeing what was behind some of what had been done over the years.
I had I've done quite a bit of remodeling and buying houses progressively that I've lived in, where I would buy a house and then remodel it while I was living in it in a non-toxic way. And my ex-husband was very good at building, and so it was a good project for us to do as a couple. And I remember one house that we bought as an investment house had... Everything had been covered up. It was an old house from like the 20s or something. But in the 60s or sometime like that, somebody decided to remodel. And so they covered up all the beautiful architecture. And when we went in there, it had like this drop ceiling in the kitchen. And we started ripping things out. And there was this one point where I said, you know, it'd be really nice to have an arch over this opening. Couldn't we put in an arch? And we just started ripping it up. And there was an arch there already. And I love old houses, and I love taking down all that stuff. So then did you have any, have you done all this work yourself, or did you hire people, or how did you make it on a budget?
Well, the first phase was just to get it in the shape it needed to be for us to move in. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make sure, especially having kids, I wanted to make sure that there was no peeling paint, that everything was clean, that the old there was old carpeting here, probably from the 60s or 70s. So mm-hmm. all of that carpeting was taken out. The floors were refinished. And something I mentioned on the blog is that, like, the carpeting I was able to recycle through a local carpet recycling company. And then the floors I refinished using a whey, non-toxic. It's made from whey, and actually the company that makes it, I think, is Vermont Naturals. And I think that gentleman was on your show.
He was on my show, and I use that product, and it's one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, okay. So all the floors were refinished with that on the downstairs. And then so basically that first phase was just getting it ready to move in. So not everything was done. But I did hire a contractor to help with some of the really heavy stuff and an electrician and a plumber. So for the technical stuff, I definitely hired people.
But you did a lot of the work yourself.
I did. I came first thing in the morning to check on everything and to kind of get everyone organized for the day and go over what needed to be done. And then when I could, I would come during my lunch break and check on things. And inevitably, there would be surprises that were found during the morning as things were uncovered and progress was made. So that was kind of a troubleshooting time. And then I would come after work and check on things again and then do some work myself.
Yeah, when we come back from the break, we'll talk a little more about how you put it together, because you did it, I think, on a project by project kind of basis, which is how I do my remodeling too. Instead of looking at it and saying, well, it's going to be $100,000 to remodel this house, we just go, well, how can we do this one little piece of it? And that makes it a lot more affordable.
Yeah.
You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Erin Ide. We're talking about her Healthy Home Project, where she's remodeled a house herself to be non-toxic. And her website is thehealthyhomeproject.org. We'll be right back. And my guest today is Erin Ide, and she's the founder of the Healthy Home Project. They're at Healthy Home Project, thehealthyhomeproject.org. Erin, so once you made this decision that you needed to do things in a non-toxic way, how did you find out about what was toxic and what wasn't? Because, you know, I mean, I watch TV. I love to watch those home decorating shows on TV, but they're always talking about, you know, paint and you do these different things, but they never look at what the health effects are, that there's so much of what happens on TV is toxic. So how did you find out what to do?
Exactly. I watch all the different home shows, and I love it. I love seeing what other people do. But I did have that issue that what I see on TV isn't necessarily something I want to replicate in my own home, just because I don't know what products they're using, and they're not non-toxic. So I have been getting your newsletter for a while, and
oh, good.
So I got a lot of great ideas from that, and also just from, I like to buy things locally, so I've tried to source as many things as possible from the area, and just from doing research, really, is how I found a lot of the things that I've used here.
That's very good. I'm glad that you did a lot of your own research. I just want to make a comment that about TV and about toxic things. You know, I sometimes think, oh, I would love to have a home decorating show where I could just tell people how to remodel their homes non-toxically and, you know, to have a organic cooking show and all these things, and notice that they don't have those on TV. And right. I think that the reason that they don't have that on TV is because if they were to have a show, one show, like if the Food Channel, for example, were to have a show about cooking organically, then that makes all their other shows wrong. Mm-hmm. It makes all their advertisers wrong. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens about getting this kind of information on TV, because it's one thing to have it, you know, for me to like be on a segment of the Today Show or something like that, or for Dr. Oz to say something about it. But to have a whole show where this is the lifestyle, where this is what we're talking about, it just makes the whole everything else wrong. And it is wrong. I'll just say it. It is wrong. and yet we're watching these shows. All of there's so much in the media that is promoting the toxic lifestyle, the unhealthy lifestyle. It's difficult sometimes to like get a foot in the door, and which that's what I like so much about the internet, is that I can say whatever I want to say on my website. I'll just have to start my own television channel on my website. So, Erin, what are some of the toxic chemicals you are concerned about?
Well, there's about five main ones that are very common during the remodeling process, and also just in homes in general. One of those things is VOCs. So that stands yes. for volatile organic compounds, and they're in hundreds of building products, from paint to adhesives. They're linked to cancer and respiratory issues, in addition to some other adverse health outcomes. So it's really important to choose a paint with no VOC, since paint is something that we all use so often. A lot of paints claim to be no VOC, but the claim actually refers to the base, and then
right.
when the colorant
right.
is put in, it's not no VOC.
That's right. So you have to, when you're choosing a paint, you need to make sure that there's no VOCs in the paint and no VOCs in the colorant. And that's something you need to ask. It doesn't say that on the label. So which paint did you choose?
I chose a product called Ivy Coatings, and it's made pretty local to me in Brooklyn.
I've never heard of them. So good.
I had never heard of it either. Until a few years ago, I know the man who actually was involved with creating it, and it's sold at a store called Green Depot, and there's a couple of those home improvement stores around the country, and it's also on the internet. So that's actually where I got it from.
Is that Ivy, like Ivy Vine, Ivy?
Exactly.
I'm going to look that up. Okay, good. So what's another chemical besides VOCs that you watched out for?
Another one is lead, just because this is an older house. So proper testing is the way to really know whether there's a hazard present or not. So on my blog, I covered a little bit about lead testing. I had, for example, one of the floors upstairs was painted, and before it could be sanded, we needed to test the paint to see if it contained lead. And thankfully, it didn't. So we could go ahead and just
good.
Sand the floor.
What other chemicals?
Flame retardants are a big one right now. It's a really hot topic in the media. The Chicago Tribune came out with a whole series in 2012 mm-hmm. that really mm-hmm. put the issue on the map. And so many home furnishings, from mattresses to sofas, are manufactured to meet the California Flammability Standard, which is called PB117. And even though it's just law in California, it's been used as a standard across the country. And thankfully, that standard has just recently changed as of January 2014. But there's still kind of a phase-in period, so it's...
There is, and I need to do a whole show just on that, because there are some things about that new standard that aren't quite exactly right, and I don't want to be mysterious about this, but so I'll just simply say that the way the new standard is worded, it actually makes it illegal to just use a natural fiber because of the way it's now a smolder test, and there's all kinds of technicalities. And so whereas before you could just have a natural fiber covering or make something out of a natural fiber and it would pass the test, and now it doesn't.
Not because it's
flammable, it's just the way they test it. And so now it's opened the door for the way they test to have things that are very flammable materials not require fire retardants. And anyway, I don't want to get into that whole thing, but it's just to know that I'm not sure that, I mean, it's a step forward in California to not require fire retardants, but there's still problems with it. We need to go to break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Erin Eide. And she's the founder of the Healthy Home Project at healthyhomeproject.org. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Erin Eide. She's the founder of the Healthy Home Project at thehealthyhomeproject.org. And Erin, tell us, so right now your summertime project is to remodel the bathroom. Tell us how that's going.
Well, it's been kind of it's still a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you what I've done so far.
Okay.
One of the first things was to remove the old vinyl floor tiles.
Yes.
Because vinyl is such an issue, and especially in older homes. I first had them tested to see if they contained asbestos, because older vinyl tiles sometimes do. And thankfully, they tested negative, as well as the mastic, which is the adhesive underneath the tile.
Mm-hmm.
So once that was done, I pulled those up, and we put down a recycled content porcelain tile, which has 40% pre-consumer recycled material in it. And it's also made in the USA. So I was very glad to find that resource.
Good. Good choice.
And then the next, one of the other steps was to tear down the 1970s paneling, which is made from MDF or medium density fiberboard. And the reason I wanted to take that down is because MDF, especially the older kind, contains formaldehyde, which is mm-hmm. in the glues that bind the shredded wood together to make the paneling.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and go ahead.
So even though I knew the paneling would have done had the majority of the off-gassing completed many years ago, I just wanted to remove it because it doesn't really work in a high moisture environment as well.
No, it really doesn't. And this is one of the problems with MDF and those similar kind of compressed boards, is that even if the outgassing is done, if any water gets in there, and I know they're using it like on the outside sheathing of houses now. I drive by new subdivisions and you can see that board just right there. And it's just sitting there out in the rain and there's nothing to protect it. And it just falls apart. The resin doesn't hold it together. And so that's not a good thing to have in your bathroom. You're absolutely, totally correct about that.
Yeah, I've seen that in new construction in my neighborhood as well. It's very surprising to see that used in the exterior where it does fall apart. It doesn't hold up.
Yeah.
So after the paneling came down, the walls were severely damaged. So they were passed and skim coated and sanded, and then I used Ivy Coatings primer and Ivy Coatings paint to seal everything up and make them look like new. I also found two light fixtures at a store called Green Demolitions, which is a store that sells fixtures and other home remodeling everything from cabinets, everything you possibly need for remodeling.
Yes.
And it's taken from other construction projects. So it's basically used things that are for resale, and all the proceeds go to charity, which makes it a really great win-win situation.
You know, I've gotten a lot of things. Another term for this, like if somebody wanted to find one locally, if listeners, you just look under architectural salvage is what it's called in the Yellow Pages, architectural salvage. And when I was in California, I lived in the San Francisco Bay Area, and there were so many old houses they were taking apart all the time. And I got so many beautiful doors and windows and marble, you know, like marble for $5 a foot and a square foot and things like that. And here we don't have so many, where I live now in Florida, we don't have so many old houses that are being demolished. But we have Habitat for Humanity has a chain of stores called Renew, I think it is. And so they're always looking for, you know, materials that are left over on construction projects. And there's so many, I mean, this is one of the ways that you can do things that are inexpensive. I mean, you have to use your discretion about looking at the materials of these used items to make sure that they're non-toxic. But people are just like pulling out whole kitchens full of cabinets and all these things that just cost hundreds and thousands of dollars. And you can go to architectural salvage and get it for nothing. It's just, it's pretty amazing.
Exactly. I've done so many of the things I got for this house. I bought that way and I paid just a fraction of what it would have been in a home retail.
Yeah. And it goes with the style of your 1907 house.
Exactly.
That's so great. Okay, so what part of the bathroom are you working on now?
Well, the part that I'm kind of doing now is I have an old cast iron enamel bathtub, mm-hmm. and I had read one or two articles about these old tubs possibly containing lead in the glaze.
Yes, yes.
And so I thought, well, let me just test mine and see. And lo and behold, it came up positive.
Ooh.
And I was really surprised. And so what I'm going to do now is reglaze it.
Mm-hmm.
The other option would be to replace it entirely, but I don't want to create more waste in the landfill, so I'd rather just reglaze it, and then I'll use some recycled tile around the tub surround. So that's the last step.
Good. So then when you finish, so the tub is just there and you don't have a shower in the bathroom. It's just a tub.
It is. There's a shower there too.
Okay. So it's a separate shower.
It's the same. It's actually all the same. So it's like a tub with the shower right there.
Oh, I see. Good. Good. Well, so what else do you have left then to do for the bathroom? So then that would be it.
Yep, that's pretty much it. Just the one light fixture needs to go up, and the molding needs... I took out all the molding, the old molding, so I need to put up some new molding. And that's pretty much it once the tub area is done.
So can I ask you, how much did it cost you to remodel your bathroom? Because if you were to go to a contractor or watch a TV show, it's like $35,000 or $50,000 or something like that. So how much did it cost?
I would say I haven't, the one bill is still pending, but I can probably just a rough ballpark would be no more than $3,000.
Yes. So I want everybody to hear this. You can remodel your bathroom in a non-toxic way for $3,000.
I don't even think it was that much.
Yeah. I know. I understand because when my husband and I were remodeling, we remodeled the whole bathroom. We ended up having a mold problem and we had to remodel the whole bathroom, tore it all out down to the studs. But, you know, we had a little insurance check that didn't cover it. But we spent the insurance check on the plumber and, you know, the technical kind of people, because they had to put in new pipes and things like that. But in terms of the work, you know, the walls and the tiling and all those things, we were just like buying a can of paint and saying, okay, this weekend we're going to paint this. And then we would just paint it, you know, and then we would figure out, well, how much money can we spend on tile now? And it was just, we did it as a series of weekend projects.
That's exactly how I've done this. It's taken It's been about 3 months. So it definitely wasn't done like in a week or anything like that. It's been step by step, kind of figuring out what I need to do next and what I need to purchase next, and then just going out and doing that piece.
Yes. And so this is something that anybody can do. I just really want to get this point across that you can do a lot of the labor yourself, even if you've never done it before. You go to some place like Lowe's or Home Depot. Those are do-it-yourself places. They have everything is arranged so that you can take those materials home and do it. They have instructions. They have workshops. They have instructions online. There, a lot of stuff can be done by, if you need to hire somebody, you could hire a handyman instead of a contractor. I just want everybody to think that they can do this. If you need a new home, if you need to remodel something, you can do it in a toxic-free way. You can do it in an affordable way. It is absolutely possible to do that. So we've got about 1 minute left. Any last words you'd like to give?
I would just like to echo exactly what you just said, that that's really why I made the blog and the website, is to empower other people to be able to make these same changes in their homes, whether they're just painting a wall or redoing an entire house. It's absolutely doable, and I hope that the resources that I have on the site and sort of the story I tell helps other people to do the same thing.
Well, you've done an excellent job. I can see that you've done your homework, and I think this is a great resource and an inspiration for people. Again, her website is thehealthyhomeproject.org. And you can see everything that she's done and see how you can apply that to your own home. And I know that sometimes it seems a little scary to look at doing home improvements, but they can be done. They can even be done by single moms. They can be done by couples. They can be done by... It's easier than you think. That's what I'll say. Anyway, thank you so much for being with us, Erin. Again, her website is thehealthyhomeproject.org. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. Be well.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.